Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
We're back on the air here at CFAX 1070. We were hoping to have a conversation with Simon Fraser University Professor of Criminology, Dr. Rob Gordon, having some difficulties establishing that connection at this time. I think we can take calls, or is that Professor Gordon right there? Okay, we can take calls at 250-386-0161, star 1070, a free call on your wireless device. Getting a lot of text messages today. Dear Adam, a texter writes, a dear elderly friend of ours was doing business in that very bank, the BMO on Shelbourne, 3600 block, just shortly before this incident. Texter writes, I am so humbly grateful for the bravery and sacrifice our valiant officers showed. And the thought that some of our counselors want to defund this fine force is absolutely incredulous and utterly disgusting. Well, I will note that the loud defund voices in this community, and again, you're allowed to have a difference of opinion. That's what democracy is all about, are, I think, politely quiet right now. And I think that's probably for the best. And maybe some people will admit that their views have evolved and they were wrong. Maybe they won't. That's up to them. But I think all of us are under the impression now of the... Well, just the fact that we needed them. You know, imagine if the voices saying sell the armored response vehicle had been successful. Imagine if all this other stuff had happened. Imagine, oh, we shouldn't have an emergency response team because it's too militaristic. Like imagine all the voices over the years if they had won where we would be right now. It's quite frankly chilling. But thankfully, there were people who planted their feet and pushed back because even though it may have not been politically the sort of flavor of the week, popular, they pointed out that we have police forces for a reason, and they need to be adequately funded, provisioned, and equipped for that same reason. There are bad people out there who will hurt the innocent, and we recognized a long time ago that we need a police force to be able to protect ourselves from them. That's just the way it is. Henry at 107010 texts me saying, good morning, Adam. There must be some parental culpability as, in Henry's view, they watched their kids gather guns and armor and did nothing. Henry, we don't know at this time what the family may or may not have known. We are told by Alex Brube at the press conference on the weekend that the family has been contacted by RCMP and that they are cooperating in the investigation. Now, that's a good sign. I don't want to prejudice anything, and I don't want to condemn anyone, especially if they are cooperating fully with this investigation to attempt to find out what happened here. And I think that it's fair for us to reserve judgment at this time as to what the family did or did not know until we know more. 250-386-1161. Texter says, why do crimes like this end up getting politicized by the media, i.e. they were anti-vaxxers, they were anti-Trudeau, they were pro-convoy? I don't believe that this individual posted about the convoy. This individual had just under 200 Instagram posts. I read them all. I didn't see the convoy explicitly mentioned, Texter. I may have missed it, though. Texter writes, this was a tragedy. Why can't the media refrain from making political assumptions here south of the border? It goes on and on and on. Texter, there was only one member of parliament that I saw Mr. Ochterlony following. It was not Justin Trudeau. It was a conservative member. I'm not saying that says anything, but that is something that I viewed. I also viewed the media that he was following on Instagram. It was online. It was independent, not what you would call MSM or mainstream media. It would be ridiculous for us to ignore this Instagram account, given the questions that have arisen about why someone would do this. I'm not saying it's necessarily relevant that this individual had strong views about tyranny, government overreach, and vaccination, but it is entirely, completely relevant that most, if not all, of the anti-Trudeau posts on this Instagram post or this Instagram page texter had to do with the Trudeau government's firearm restrictions. It wasn't just F Trudeau for no reason. It was F Trudeau because Trudeau wants my guns. And it was hashtag come and take it. Hashtag get what you deserve. Texter, that is entirely relevant to this situation because he was posting about guns. Like, we couldn't leave that out. It would be journalistic malpractice, in my view, to leave that out if we knew about that and just didn't mention it. So I disagree with your assessment. You're welcome to make that assessment, though. We do live in a free country. Texter 107010 writes, good job, Adam, to deflect Henry and automatically assuming the parents have culpability. We have no clue, and I cannot stand people jumping to conclusions like that. Unfortunately, part of the reason why people are getting disenfranchised, everybody's running off to blame other people immediately. Well, human beings, we solve mysteries. We see an incomplete pattern, and our brains will automatically fill in the details. They won't always do so correctly, though. So while I'm not going to sit here and tell anybody, we shouldn't speculate, we shouldn't wonder, we shouldn't, because we're going to do that anyway, right? We're all grown-ups. We're all free-thinking adults, aren't we? let's just admit that we're going to wonder about this. We're going to ask questions. But let's do so in a responsible way by specifying that, yeah, this is something that I'm not sure about. What if it was this? What if it was? That doesn't mean it was. That means it's a possibility. And it's something that we have to do in order to better understand this and search for truth. And you know what? It will help defray your anxiety. I had people text me last week saying, Adam, I really want to thank you for the first hour of the show the other day. I said, well, why? They said, it made me feel better. I said, well, why would that make you feel better? We covered a lot of awful things. They said, yeah, but we didn't shy away from it. We went through it meticulously, bit by bit, and we examined it very closely, and we better understood it. And that removal of the uncertainty, that removal of the things that were up in the air that we now have a better idea of, at least in some of the people I talked to, it made them feel better. And it will. Fear is based on uncertainty and risk. It is nature's probabilistic sort of insurance policy to get you out of a situation that might go badly. That is what fear actually is. You can remove fear through removal of uncertainty. Well, you know, to some degree. Now, there's a strong public interest in us understanding why this happened, because nothing in our community has ever happened before that was like this. And two, now we know it wasn't actually committed by people from our community. They came from Duncan. Why? One of many questions have yet to be answered. Again, I'm not going to condemn anyone. The dead, obviously, will never have their chance at a fair trial. So I think it's fair for us to suspect that they were the shooters, of course. But everybody else, that's all up in the air at this point. It's important that we recognize that. All right, quick break. We'll do calls right after this.
Keeping you informed, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
All right, 250-386-1161, star 1070, free call on your wireless device. Still unable to make contact with Professor Rob Gordon. Maybe we can chat with him later on in the show. Either way, I'd like to hear his assessment of the preliminary details of this awful situation. Let's go to Genevieve. Hey, Genevieve, how you doing?
Yes, morning. Thank you for taking my call. I feel a little bit better after all that happened last week.
Good.
The gentleman who commented on those boys' parents, I feel for them, you know. Do you hear their names, Matthew and Isaac? And when you look at those two boys in the paper, I imagine they were beautiful little babies when they came into this world. We raise our children, we try to indoctrinate them, but there comes a time when we have to let them go. And we see a lot of times their views do not coincide with their parents' or family views. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yes.
But I just want to say, I hope that those members on Victoria City Council who want to defend the police and who think that they can give powers, whether it's to psychologists or social workers or whatever, they don't have the ability to stand up to bullets.
No, and they wouldn't claim to, Genevieve, and I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I know social workers, and they might not say this in public, but I've talked to them in the past, and the social workers say, and I've asked them, I said, so what sort of, like, what do you bring to a call in terms of somebody's really agitated? What do you do when things get really bad? I've asked them, and they look around, and they kind of see if there's anybody listening, and they go, you know what we do when things get really bad? And I said, what? They said, we call the police. That's what social workers do.
That's right, and I want to remind us all, Our police, they're there to serve and to protect. And we all will be well advised. We are not saying they're all perfect, but we must respect them. We must pay them, you know, give them their due. And I just want to say, thank God that they were there, because, you know,
There's
just no way that we could deal with this situation. And I'm very, very sorry for what happened. They have children, they have wives, they have husbands, they have, you know, family. And they are people like us. And they deserve to be treated, you know, with respect. And I just want to say, let's all do our best. And once again, thank you to our police. Thank you to those wonderful people in the hospital. I know about them because I've been in hospital several times. And thank you to everybody who's trying to do their best to put this thing into focus. And Chief Manick and Chief, is it Duthie?
D-U-T-H-I-E.
Yeah. Here in Saanich and the West Shore RCMP and everyone. I love you all. God bless you. Thank you.
Have a good day, Genevieve. Thank you as well. 250-386-1161, star 1070, a free call on your wireless device. Let's go next to Ann. Ann, you're on the air. Go ahead, please. Welcome to Open Lines.
Yeah, hi, thanks. This is just a very short question, and it maybe has been answered, but was there actually a robbery? Was any money actually taken?
That's unclear to me.
It sounds like the bank was sort of a staging place to draw police to.
It could absolutely have been, Ann. Now, Shelley Fryer, who was one of the hostages, told us that she heard one of the gunmen say the word vault and gesture towards where it may have been. I believe there was may have also been some keys that was handed over, but I have not talked to anyone who actually saw either of these gunmen take possession of any cash or stolen property. They said vault, but it's not clear at this time that they actually removed anything from the vault. And it was also said that they were pacing and waiting for something, unclear at that point when. It seems possible, if not likely now, that this whole thing was just bait for police to show up. And that's terrifying.
Yes, because, you know, if one wants to be sort of, I don't know, callous about it, there are much easier ways to steal money.
Yep.
You can do it with cybercrime and be completely anonymous. So, you know, if money was the point.
I don't think money was the point. That's at least not from the evidence that we have before us at this time.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you. Appreciate your coverage, and it's really helpful, and thanks to the police for sure.
All right. Thank you, Ann. Have a good day. Yeah. Appreciate it.
You too.
250-386-1161, star 1070, a free call on your wireless device. Text her at 107010 about why were we talking about the anti-Trudeau posts. It was Trudeau's gun ban, specifically, was what the young, I don't know if he's the younger twin or the older twin, but 22-year-old Isaac Octerloney was tweeting. He was tweeting about the gun ban, specifically. And it was a common theme in terms of come and take it, in terms of bought legal, stay legal, and those sorts of sentiments. Trudeau was, of course, included in it. And the vaccine was also mentioned in multiple posts. But most of those posts that I saw were about firearms, pending firearm restrictions. And Justin Trudeau was the only politician who was consistently mentioned. So, of course, we're going to mention that. The texter writes, I'm only saying that the political narrative runs one way. Texter writes, when the churches were being burned down, the media did not make assumptions about the political allegiance of the perpetrators, likely because they knew they were aligned with a further left part of the political spectrum. Texter, following the story about the preliminary results of more than 200 at that point suspected graves outside the former Kamloops Indian Residential School last year, churches on native reserves started burning down. I don't think there was much question about what was happening to those churches and why. Do you? Like honestly? Like a news story breaks saying there's hundreds of potential dead children buried outside a residential school and suddenly Catholic churches that have existed on reserves start burning down. I think it's kind of obvious who was doing it and why, don't you? Like that was the context. The residential schools was the context of the churches burning down. Like that's a pretty clear motive to me. Like wouldn't you imagine that that could happen? And that would be a likely motive for something like that to take place if that sort of revelation happened and you were a person who lived on reserve and the church was on reserve and maybe you even got abused in that church or you heard of other people who did like that sort of a story. That was not hidden, not by any means. That was the story, at least in my view. So I disagree with that assessment as well. But again, you have a right to make it. Let's go to Mary. Hey, Mary, you're on the air. How you doing?
Hi, Adam. I hope I don't cry here. I probably will.
That's okay.
Both my husband and I are still so hurt, shocked, upset, feeling so much for these officers who remain in hospital. And I just want to thank you, Adam. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I am so impressed with you. You are so helpful to us, to the community, with your questions. You didn't take anything at face value. You are compassionate. And that is like a healing salve to our wounds, although it will take a long time for us to heal from this. I wanted to say my husband and I took cards and flowers to Saanich PD and Vic PD. And Adam, the people coming with cards and flowers, like we had to get in line. And the
really?
Parents.
That's amazing.
Yes. We had to wait.
There was a lineup outside the police station to deliver cards?
Yes, especially Saanich, because it happened in Saanich. But Victoria PD were in there also, and they are getting recognized. But, Adam, parents are bringing their children and meeting the police officers. What a teaching moment. I said to them, I am so proud of you as a father or as a mother for bringing your children here. There is a, as you mentioned, a GoFundMe. I don't know if you're open to me giving the number, but it's very frightening when it says officers' homes may need to be altered for their new normal.
They've got a tough hill to climb right now, and I don't want to be doom and gloom, because I suspect that at least I hope that two of those officers in hospital, or I'd love all three, but it sounds like it might only be two that can listen to us right now. I don't want to run them down or make them feel glum or anything, but you know, the sky's the limit. They can make full recoveries. Anything is possible, but anything that doesn't happen, they will get those supports. If that home needs to be altered, it will be altered. If accommodations need to be made, they will be made. They will be supported.
Well, it's under Chelsea Cofield, the GoFundMe. And are you open to me giving the number? So make it easier?
Oh, sure. I've got it actually up on my social media feeds right now.
Oh, good.
Here, I'll just retweet it out so it'll be at the top of the feed.
Thank you.
Let me just click on it right now. It has $138,075 in it.
So it's gofund.me/364 small e.
I've got an easier way to do it. Just type GoFundMe, Saanich Police, and Victoria Police Union members into Google. That'll bring it up.
Awesome.
Or you can just check out my Twitter page. I've got it up at the top right now.
Okay. I appreciate that. And Adam, it was a miracle that they were there. I'm telling you, I pray for these officers every day. God was here with them. And if the G-Vert hadn't been there, we would be absolutely in mourning today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you from the city of Victoria for your superb job, Adam.
We're all in this together, Mary. We either all win or we all lose, and I don't like to lose. So we're going to win, all right?
Thank you.
Okay. You have a good day. You take care. Riga, you're on
the
air. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for taking my call, Adam. I just wanted to ask you, when you were on vacation, your much-deserved time off, there was a person on who was providing some housing in Souk for Ukrainian refugees, and I can't remember who or what that was. So I brought my truck and my camper up from Oregon so that I could donate my camper, because they were asking for people who had recreational vehicles if they could donate them.
It was Brian Holloway Chuck, 10:30 a.m. Monday, May 16th.
Thank you. Okay, yeah. Brian Holloway Chuck.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I was just going to say, you know, when I saw the news that it was 22-year-old, two of three triplets that died, I cried my eyes out, because the boys looked so much like my 22-year-old brother, Isaac, who died. And the fact that his name was Isaac, one of them, and Matthew, I just thought, their poor parents, and then their sister, like, to be a triplet.
Yeah.
And then to lose your brothers in such a unexpected and
well,
I don't want to say the word, like,
we don't know what was expected and what wasn't, Riga. It's
true. We don't know.
So I don't want to presume either way.
No, I was thinking about what Genevieve said about, you know, the police, and I know the motto of the Victoria Police is honor through service, and I truly believe that we have the best police service anywhere. And I don't want to say these are the bad people and then everyone else is, you know, like the police are the good people, because I just think it's so tragic. Like, it's just so tragic.
Yeah, it is tragic. But the police are the good people. And the more we learn about these two, the more I think that it's safe to say that they were bad people. I'm sorry. They just, like, who does that? Maybe they started as good people and there was some sort of a fall or some sort of a process, but you don't show up and do what they did. And, well, Yeah, let's just leave it there. Again, I grieve for their families. I don't know what their families knew or what they didn't know. I don't know how surprised or not surprised they were. What I do know is that going back on that guy's Instagram feed, if his family knew that he had social media, this was not difficult to see coming potentially in terms of the escalating rhetoric, in terms of the firearms. I mean, one of the captions for the videos that Isaac Ochterlony had photographed of himself out in the bush somewhere as he's shooting one of these rifles, you know what it says? It says training. Training for what? Yeah, indeed. Anyway, we don't know. So let's not presume. But let's not presume either way. Quick break, back after this.
Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Triplets, a texter asks, incredulously. Yes, media has confirmed the existence of a 22-year-old sister in this. There is no indication at this point that she or any other family member was involved in this situation, though. Again, we're told that the family has been in contact with investigators. We're told that the family is cooperating with investigators at this time, so that's the information upon which we will rely until given cause to think anything else. Texter at 107010 says, if I remember, the last scene of the 1997 incident, Henry writes, was the gunman taking his own life. Is that how the 1997 North Hollywood shootout ended? I'm trying to remember. Unclear at this time exactly what shot led to the death of both of the 22-year-olds in the Saanich incident. I don't know is the best answer I can give you at this time. However, we have had so many shocking parallels between the North Hollywood shootout and what actually happened at the Bank of Montreal in Saanich that it seems almost impossible that was accidental. Like, there was inspiration here, surely. Was it meant to be an exact carbon copy? Maybe, but why? Why that bank? That's also the question that have yet to be answered. I know that some folks have looked at the map and said, you know what, if you wanted to recreate that, that bank has a number of geographic features in terms of the nature of the separate detached structure, as well as points for entry and egress, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that might be the case, but still, they lived in Duncan. Like, why did they drive all the way down here, either that day or prior to that, to stage this specific crime at that specific point in Saanich? We've got lots of theories, but I haven't heard any answers, and we need to know answers. You know, who in our community did this? The answer is nobody. The answer is they didn't live here. They lived up island. Why did they come here? We need to know. It's one of the many questions that I hope will be answered in the fullness of time in this investigative process. Let's go to Andre. Andre, you're on the air.
Something about that North Hollywood shootout in 97. The two guys there, they had Kalashnikovs with high capacity drum magazines and loaded with black tips. I wonder if these guys in Saanich also had black tips in their...
What's a black tip? Help us understand.
Armor piercing bullet.
Oh, like Teflon?
Yeah. Probably
like
could explain why so many cops were injured.
Well, and potentially, we don't know at this point what sort of ammunition was used. We actually don't even know what the firearm was. It could have been one of the firearms that Ochterlony had on his Instagram feed, or perhaps it was a new one. We don't know yet.
Well, I didn't see his Instagram, but I wonder, you know, where they got these weapons. Like, they say they weren't known to police. Well, you need to apply through the RCMP for any firearms weapon, which also would make them known to police. It's not just records.
That's not what known to police means. When police say whether or not somebody is known to them, it's a nice way of them saying this individual has been involved in instances and we know of them. Not every single person who has their PAL or their firearms license is known to police. They don't describe it that way. Like it's not like not known to police doesn't mean that like we have no idea who this person is. They don't exist. Those are different things. Just to be clear.
Well, I wonder. Well, they obviously didn't care about the 5-round capacity limit or what, you know, whether it's legal to carry them these weapons in public as opposed to just a shooting range. So.
With this particular situation, there was a post on his Instagram account that suggested that he was in possession of 40-round magazines. We don't know for sure, though, that he was. You know, lots of people put things on Instagram and they lie. I'm not saying that we know that for sure, but I'm also not saying that we know for sure that that was an illegally modified magazine, because I didn't actually see it being fired to the point where it was illegally modified. And it's difficult to tell from the resolution of the picture as to whether it had been unpinned. Now, one of the problems is that you can buy a magazine that is completely legal and it's pinned for a limit of 5 rounds. My understanding is that it can be modified by those who know how, without a great deal of difficulty, to suddenly have capacity up to and including that 40 round or that 40 cartridge limit, which is 8 times what is legally allowed. So again, we don't necessarily know, but you know, it is sort of a big red flag. Guys posting this saying 40 round mag, hashtag this FU Trudeau, and that's what it said in the hashtags. But then again, lots of people are posting things on Instagram all the time. RCMP resources are limited. They can only look at a certain number of accounts at any given time. And it's also likely that this individual was the owner of legitimately acquired firearms because, and I haven't actually posted this yet, one of the posts that they have on their account on June the 11th, 2020, reads, announcement of firearms prohibition. It looks like a letter that they have received in the mail from the RCMP, by the looks of it, or the Government of Canada. It reads, on May 1st, 2020, it's from a couple of years ago, the Government of Canada reclassified the following firearms and devices prohibited. They say 9 types of firearms by make and model and their variants. It says firearms with a bore of 20 millimeters or greater. Bottom line, they say, what are your options on this notice? And option one is wait for further instructions to participate in the buyback program. This suggests that Mr. Octerloni was in possession of legally acquired firearms and that police were aware of that, if that's why he was sent this. We don't know that, and he's dead, so we can't ask him. Number two, in terms of options, have your firearm deactivated by an approved business. Option three, it says here, legally export your firearm, in which case individuals can engage businesses with the proper firearms privileges. But listen to this. He or someone else has written in pen 4 and 5, 2 additional options on this notice. Option 4 reads in handwriting, keep firearms and don't surrender. And option 5 reads, tell Trudeau to go F himself. But he spells it out. There's a lot of Justin Trudeau mentions here. It's impossible for us not to mention that in conjunction with the firearms, in conjunction with a potential motive or at least an influencing factor in his conduct in this matter. Quick break. We're back right after this.
This is Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
I've just posted that June 11th, 2020 Instagram screenshot from Isaac Octerloni's Instagram feed. It also says, as the holder of a valid firearms license, you are being contacted by the Canadian Firearms Program as you may be in possession of one of these firearms. So that's what it says. And again, the 2 handwritten options that someone, presumably Mr. Octerloni himself, has written under the what are your options is keep firearms and don't surrender and tell Trudeau to go F himself. So take from that what you will. Let's go next to Chris on Open Lines. Hey, Chris, you're on the air. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call today. I just want to say, like, imagine being, like, I know a few cops, really good friends of mine, but I couldn't imagine jumping in. Was that minivan one of theirs?
Yes, like that. That was G-Vert. My suspicion is that the location that they were attending might not have been overly conducive to the armored rescue vehicle arriving, so they were in that van. That's a possible reason, but I don't know that for sure.
But imagine sitting in that white minivan, you and your buddy copper beside you, being like, man, sure wish we had something that would stop a bullet as you're racing towards, you know, a gunfight. And then in the back of your head, you're thinking, you got, you know, this clown, Isaac and Potts, that show up at everything that has to do anything with a cop, thinking that they're going to be hiding in the bush videotaping me to make sure that I don't do anything that will get me charged. So you got that in the back of your mind, like, should I pull my gun? Should we wait to see? Like, all the things that are going, like, to me, the blood is on the hands of these counselors that are talking all this rhetoric and all this government people that are talking rhetoric of defunding the police. Like, We need these cops. Like, there's a prime example. Like, how come, you know, superstar Ben Isaac wasn't down there trying to defuse the situation?
Well, he had a book launch that night. He was busy.
Oh, he did, yeah, but he seems to sneak away from everything. The guy's a coward. You know, he hides behind his books. And the real people of Victoria, the cops that run down there to defend, you know, if it was Ben Isaac that was there, they would have to go there and take bullets for that clown. You know, like...
Yeah, and they would, too, because that's their job, and they know that's their job. Yeah.
And I can't believe, like, because of the way these guys are talking, I think that's putting fuel to the fire of these far right wing people.
Well, it's difficult to say, and Chris, I appreciate your frustration. I think that it's important that we show appropriate support for the police department. In terms of motivating factors, though, like these guys were from Duncan. Do they know who Victoria Council even is? I don't know. Would they? Not necessarily. There was nothing in the Instagram account that I saw that talked about Victoria politics or local politics at all. It was just federal politics. It was they followed online independent media out of the United States, as well as I think there were a couple of Canadian outlets there. Like nothing mainstream, at least not in Canada. They followed Russia Today, of course. I'm sorry, but you know, Russia has realized that by disseminating and inflaming social tensions within the United States of America and other G7 nations, that it can lead to more likely sectarian strikes. So they spend lots of money on that sort of stuff. Now we know why, with the Ukraine invasion, of course, but hindsight is always 20/20. So in terms of reason here, the only politician that he talks about almost obsessively is Justin Trudeau. Like, he doesn't talk about Ben Isett. He doesn't talk about Sarah Potts. He doesn't talk about Victoria or Lisa Helps. That's not mentioned. What he says over and over and over again, what he posts pictures of over and over and over again, is Justin Trudeau. That's, like, if there's any politician that was in this guy's head, it's Trudeau, is the reason that Trudeau keeps getting brought up. That doesn't mean, though, that that's why he did this. Texter says, not trying to be a jerk because I like your show and listen every day, but you do seem awfully defensive about the media's position regarding the narrative on Trudeau and guns. Just saying, you've defended your position three times in a row now in the last 20 minutes. Well, Texter, like, we don't know why this attack happened. Was this a terrorist attack specifically targeting liberal government policies? Like, we don't know. We can't rule that out at this point. Like that's like, and I know what I just said is very serious in terms of potential. We don't know. So for us to neglect to mention that this guy seemed to have a fixation and this guy posted over and over and over again about firearm restrictions by the federal government, and then this guy then, for reasons that are not yet clear, participated in what could have been a mass shooting, like, it's like you have to mention that. There's no way we could avoid it and be fair. Now, again, we don't know. It's also possible that there was a completely different motivation. But to not mention it at this point would be journalistic malpractice, quite frankly. Again, we're trying to understand an unprecedented freak event that has happened in this community and why somebody who didn't even live here came here and did it. We can't explain that just by disagreeing with federal policy. So there has to be more to it than that as well. Anyway, let's go to Amber. Amber, you're on the air. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Just take the speakerphone for a sec. Okay, so my developmental disability is trying to catch up here.
Can you
answer something for me? Were they actually waiting for the cops to come? Was this like a deliberate thing? Because
maybe.
Okay, the next thing is, I mean, I have to be delicate because mm-hmm. the person works for me. They actually, this person I'm talking about, was in lockdown with 8 kids because they were so close to what was happening right now, right? And she's affected still to this, like, you can see it, okay? And, like, I feel so bad for the police officers because, I mean, I've had a former RCMP officer in when I got my dog, because she actually has a service dog, so she works with pets. I got to meet one. I know how it affects them and how it changes the rest of their lives, you know, and I just can't imagine. But the other thing that's going through my head is Duncan, for bloody sake.
Yeah, there's something missing. Like, there's got to be a reason. We don't know what it is. But again, what police have asked us and what we can do to help the investigative process is, if anybody saw that white car with those distinctive black racing stripes up over the hood and the roof around town in the days leading up to Tuesday, police want to know about it. Were they down here gathering information to plan for the attack? Did they come down early? Did they drive down Tuesday morning? We don't know the answers to these, but if people have either evidence through dash cam footage or doorbell camera footage, if the car drove by and you remember seeing it, or CCTV camera footage, that can help police put together a timeline that hopefully would help all of us better understand why this took place.
And one other piece, okay, because I have my watch on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
two this weekend. One in Denmark, people got hurt, and I just got another one 2 minutes ago that seven people got killed. This, like, what on earth? And is it a bunch of copycats that have decided? I'm sorry, I'm just like...
That would mean that all of them were aware of each other, and I don't think that's entirely likely given the severity of the incidents. It could just be that we're noticing them more. Because we've got a shooting on our mind, and shootings are unfortunately happening all around the world on a continuous basis, despite our best efforts. I think, Amber, that might just be us noticing them more.
Okay, thank you. Okay, yeah. Bye-bye.
All right, have a good day. And it's okay to ask these questions, and it's okay to say that we don't know. It's okay to say maybe it was this, maybe it was that. But when people are calling in and saying, was this Victoria Council? I don't think this was. No, I think the Victoria Council certainly should recall the risk that police officers are in when they're talking and deliberating issues like the police budget in future. But in terms of any causal relationship that may exist here, I think it's unlikely because, one, the shooters didn't live here. They lived up island on the other side of the Malahat. That doesn't mean that anybody's not aware of what's happening here, though, but it does make it less likely than it otherwise would be, all else equal. And again, there's only one politician that he posted about over and over again, and it was Trudeau. And it wasn't just all policies. It was the gun ban specifically, as well as a few, not nearly as many, I should add, mentions of the vaccine passport issue. That was also mentioned. So, Dexter writes, lives were saved on scene. Yes, they were, Dexter. Yes, they absolutely were, from my understanding. 250-386-1161, star 1070, a free call on your wireless device. Peter writes to me, hey, Adam, the more you say these criminals' names, the more you give them glory. I would be glad if we never said their names again. Are we giving them glory? I certainly don't want to do that. I don't mean to do that. It's important for us to understand how this happened because, one, that will remove the fear that all of us are feeling because we're removing uncertainty from the situation. Even if we cannot prevent it, we can seek to understand it. Once we understand something, that means it is not beyond a measure of control. Even if we cannot prevent it entirely, we can better shape our response so that any deficiencies that may have taken place that allowed this to happen do not reoccur. I'm not wild about the fact that this guy's posting on Instagram what looks like illegal magazines in terms of their capacity and just doesn't matter. Nobody noticed. Nobody in his family saw that. None of his friends saw that. Nobody called that in. Nobody reported that. That is concerning to me. Who knew what and when? I don't know. There's a whole lot that we don't know. But given what we have been able to find so far, after only a couple of days of looking, it seems to me somewhat unlikely that this individual's close friends, family, and any other associates wouldn't have had any clue that this was happening. Like, you know, like it's like the name wasn't even that different. It was Isaac Ochterlony, all one word, and I think it was 867 were the digits afterwards. So it's not like it was hidden. So somebody who's comfortable putting that kind of stuff out on social media, they have to have an awareness that other people would at least see that and be aware of that. And he was comfortable enough saying F you Trudeau, saying 40 round mag, saying any number of other things on his Instagram feed. That, I think, speaks at least somewhat to overall character and mindset. So, hey, Peter, a texter writes, it's important to understand the demographic most vulnerable to radicalization and vulnerability to social media, hate, etc. That's also a potential issue here. You know, how did these two brothers go down this road? There was also, and I should note this here, because I don't want to make it sound like the entire Instagram feed was just that of some psycho killer, because that's not necessarily the only impression that somebody could take from it, certainly. He was also an enthusiast in terms of the Pacific Theater, specifically of the Second World War. And there were a number of clips and whatnot from different documentaries and film reels about particular battles that took place in the war in the Pacific during World War II. But there was some pretty grim stuff there as well. Like, this was a young man whose mind was, at least on social media, largely focused on warfare and on fighting. And on the idea that firearms are necessary to ward off the prospect of government tyranny. Like, I think he's got Thomas Jefferson quotes and stuff on there. Again, not our founding fathers. You know, our founding fathers had, well, they of course founded our nation at a different time. Our nation was founded following the U.S. Civil War. So we learned, I think, from some of the mistakes that were made when America was still a young nation, The residual power residing with Ottawa is the big one in terms of states' rights versus the central government's power. Canada's founding fathers watched the U.S. almost tear itself in two between 1861 to 1865. I do not think it is a coincidence at all that 2 years later in 1867 at Confederation, they made darn sure that any residual powers or any questions would reside with the central government in Ottawa and not with the provinces. Just one more reason that if you give any province or any state too much autonomy, you might see another civil war or something similar to that. Adam, a texter, writes, can you see the pin removed from the magazine? If not, it may have been pinned to 5 rounds as per regulations in the Firearm Act, says James. James, I can't tell either way. So it's possible that what has actually been photographed, there is a lawful 5-round pinned clip, or excuse me, magazine, that's the appropriate term, forgive me, and that he had an intention at some point in future to expand its capacity to 40 cartridges by removing that pin. That is possible. I can't tell from the resolution of the photograph. Texter 107010 writes, morning, Adam. As a City of Victoria property taxpayer, it's important to distinguish that most of the defund police talk from Vic Council, in my opinion, was actually having other regions pay their fair share. No, it wasn't, Texter. That's like, yeah, you're going to join Sarah Potts' outreach group as well? Like, it's just, it's, yeah, no, what they say is not credible. It wasn't true. And it turned out that ICID had founded an organization that was in competition for the dollars in the police budget. Like, that's the big, huge elephant in the room in terms of 24/7 camping that most people don't realize is Red Cedar Cafe was directly bidding on scarce dollars from the City of Victoria for outreach, and it was ICID himself saying that the City of Victoria and other government levels had scarce resources that had to go one place or another place, and that if you derived, or excuse me, if you spent it on policing, that means that you couldn't spend it on outreach, and he was running an agency that ended up doing outreach. No, it was just, it was shocking what happened here in the City of Victoria. And I do not believe for a second that the best interests of the police department were the only thing that were being discussed around that table now that we have the benefit of hindsight. But, you know, I think it's adorable that you would believe anything they said. Texter says, prepare to witness the pedantry of the gun crowd. Texter, I work in the media. I witness the pedantry of every crowd for every story, everywhere, everything we do. That's just how people work. There's specialized knowledge that's out there that is familiar with these specific terms, with the jargon. And when you get one of those wrong, you hear about it from people. It's not just crowds that are firearm enthusiasts. It's literally any story, any topic that I cover. There are people out there that know more about it now than I ever will, despite any amount of preparation or research that I can do. And when I get something wrong, hopefully they politely let me know about it. Sometimes they do it impolitely, but I prefer that they let me know about it either way, because I don't want to sit here thinking that I'm right about something, sound like a dummy saying it over and over again. If somebody out there that can, you know, be kind and say, hey, Adam, you got that wrong. They're doing you a favor. And I appreciate that. I appreciate anything I get wrong here. If one of you can help me out on my text messages, I'd appreciate that. So thank you. I'm going to take a quick break. My lines are open and they're clear if you want to weigh in on this. 250-386-1161.